Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, that's what we celebrate today, that He lives, that Jesus lives. He lives triumphant over the grave. He lives in our hearts. Help that celebration never to end, not just to be Easter Sunday, but to be every Sunday, indeed to be every day, a celebration that Jesus lives and that we live. We live in Him. We do pray that the words of my mouth together with the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Many of you will be familiar with Tony Campolo, perhaps because of a classic sermon that he preached in which he proclaimed, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." That sermon was not original. It was not his. It's one he had heard from his own pastor that was preached on a Friday, on a Good Friday. That first sermon began this way: "It's Friday, and my Jesus is hanging dead on a tree. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." When it was first preached, a deacon in that church yelled from the pew, "Preach it, brother, preach it," and that's all the encouragement he needed. He continued, "It's Friday, and Mary's crying her eyes out, and the disciples are scattered like sheep without a shepherd. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." And he keeps using that line over and over and over again. "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." And at the final point of his message, he shouts out one last time, "It's Friday," to which the entire congregation responded, "My friends, it is my privilege to stand before you today and declare that Sunday's here. Easter Sunday is here. Our greatest fears have been proved groundless, and our greatest hopes have been realized. Death has been defeated, hate has done its worst, and love has forever triumphed. Sunday's here, and Jesus Christ is risen from the grave." Now, you know the story of Easter. The details vary slightly from gospel to gospel, each one telling it from their perspective. But to put them together, and you know that on Sunday morning, very early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, the women returned to the tomb to finish the burial process that was interrupted by dusk on Friday. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, Salome, and Zebedee's wife, they were the intended pallbearers coming to finish up the embalming. They were prepared for the job they had to do, but totally unprepared for what they find. The stone that had sealed the tomb was rolled away, and the body of Jesus was no longer there. Two men in gleaming white clothes are there, and they ask, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." The women tell the disciples, who can't believe what they hear, and so they run to the tomb themselves. We find out that John sprints faster than Peter. He gets there first, but Peter runs right past him to poke his head into the tomb. While this is all happening, Mary Magdalene asks the gardener where he has placed the body, because who else would have moved the body? He calls her by name, and she recognizes the voice. It's Jesus. He then makes a quick trip home to heaven while she runs to tell the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." That afternoon, on the road to Emmaus, two other disciples see him and recognize him when he breaks bread with them. He disappears, and they run back to Jerusalem to tell the 11, but only 10 of them are there. Thomas wasn't with them, not until the next Sunday. And while these two are telling their story, Jesus suddenly appears there in the room. And he says, "Peace be with you." Not a single gospel says all of that. But it's a compilation of the different accounts. And not a single gospel says that any of Jesus' followers ever thought, "Wow, he really did what he said he would do. He really did rise from the dead." Rather, as Mark records it, when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she, Mary, had seen him, they did not believe it. They all asked questions like, "Where have you laid him?" Again, maybe the gardener had moved Jesus' body. After all, it was a borrowed tomb. Or it could have been grave robbers. The Roman authorities might have moved the body and make it some kind of a sick trick. Could it be that some misguided religious zealots had come and taken Jesus' body? All of that was possible. But the resurrection from the dead, none of those closest to him even suggested that maybe he had really done what he said he would do. Those are the honest reactions of people like you and me. Later in time, they'd recall his words when he said things like, "I am the resurrection and the life." Such things as people rising from the dead were not a part of their lives. But all that changed on a Sunday morning a long time ago when Jesus emerged from the grave alive. Beyond all doubt, death had been defeated. Friday was over. Sunday was finally here. But don't be misled. Fridays are still very much a part of our lives. The scriptures are clear about that. Just imagine what Mary Magdalene felt on Friday as she stood nearby the cross. She heard the mockery of the crowds. She was there to hear them cry for the release of a murdering insurrectionist named Barabbas. She saw Jesus stretched out on the cross, his body growing weak and limp, his side pierced, his clothes gambled for. She saw his spirit leave him. She saw him crucified, dead, and buried. Her Friday was not at all good. Fridays so often are worse than Mondays. Think about it. We don't know what actual day of the week it was, but Jonah might well have told you that any day you're swallowed by a great fish is a Friday. David, on the run for his life, hiding from Saul, lived through a bunch of Fridays. Job knew the day of the week well. Pearl Harbor was on a Sunday. But for the 2,400 American servicemen who were killed that day, for their families, and for the 1,100 others who were wounded, it was Friday all over again. It was a Friday on the calendar when Lee Harvey Oswald shot President Kennedy. And Americans lived through a week of Fridays. 9/11 was a Tuesday. But for 3,000 who died in the towers, at the Pentagon, and at Pennsylvania Field, for their loved ones, it was Friday. Brussels this past week. You know, one Lutheran family in New York didn't get the confirmation of the death of their two children until Friday. But it was a Friday for them all week long as they waited and wondered and worried. The day the doctor says cancer or Alzheimer's. Or the day that the police knock on your door in the wee hours of the morning, they're Fridays. Jesus said in John 16:33, we would have many Fridays. This is how he put it. In this world, you will have trouble. It's part of life's fabric. It's also how we grow in our relationship with God. Jesus goes on, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He says, Sunday's coming. The Bible is clear that Fridays are very much a part of our lives, but it is equally clear Friday is not God's final word. Sunday, Easter Sunday. The reason for all the other Sundays are even celebrated, Sunday is God's ultimate answer to all of life's problems. Let me take you to a confirmation lesson that you learned once upon a time. Sunday is when God began creation. Sunday. It was the day of Jesus' resurrection. Sunday. It was the day when the Holy Spirit came to His church. We gather each week to celebrate the triune God and His great love and mercy to each of us. Sunday has come. Go back to the tomb. There was the shock of Jesus' body not being where it was supposed to be, or at least not being where they thought it was supposed to be. At first, that's only an extension of Friday. They had seen him die, and they had seen Joseph of Arimathea come and take his body, his lifeless body, down from the cross and place it in a freshly hewn stone tomb. Now, only adding to that horror, the body was missing. But listen to the experience of John. Mary Magdalene had reported the empty tomb to Peter and to the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. That's John's own nickname for himself. He and Peter run to the graveyard. He gets there first and stops short of actually entering the tomb. Peter, typical Peter, barges right in. Then later in John 20, verse 8, we read, finally the other disciple again, that's John. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. And here's the part I want you to hear. He saw and believed. What did he see? He saw the same thing Peter and the Magdalene had seen. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. I think what he saw was the orderly arrangement of things. That's like our beds. Who makes the bed first thing when they get out of it in the morning? One of you? Oh, two, three, okay, a couple. All right. Let's try that one. Whose bed all day long looks like somebody slept in it last night? Okay. This deathbed looked like it had never been used. Everything was proper and in order, just the way it should be. The orderly grave clothes should remind us on our Fridays that Sunday is coming. That while we are still mourning, still struggling, still troubled by life, God has already ordered things for our good. The reality of the resurrection is that there is victory on the other side of pain. That God, in His never-ending love, is redeeming us. We live on the other side of Easter, as it were. We know Romans 8. We know God is working all things out for our good. We know that nothing can separate us from His love. Not trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because Sunday has come. Jesus Himself, the innocent Son of God, had His Friday, but He also had His Sunday. Easter Sunday. And He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused upon Christ Jesus until life eternal. Amen.